Nathanael later becomes known as Bartholomew. If you look in Mark 3, it's added by Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Theudas, Simon the Zealot. He was a political activist, so there's room for everybody. And there was Judas the Iscariot. So you can see right across this spectrum, there is this wide group of people that Jesus pulls together. They're not like each other, all of them. Some of them are very quite different to each other, but Jesus pulls them together in a community and says, together, you're going to walk with me, and together you are going to grow to be more like me. These men are primarily working class. Why are they all men and not women? Because it's happening in a time and a culture where rabbis didn't have females following them. It was the male's distinction. But believe me, men and women follow Jesus, and it's okay. We're all going to group together and follow Jesus. And so they're primarily working class men. They're men who aren't already following a rabbi. They kind of left that space and they've gone to work in the field. As a Jewish person growing up, at 5 to 10 years of old, you go to a place called Bet Sefer, which was a school where you would learn to speak the Torah. In fact, you would learn to memorize most of the Torah. Who here has done some memory Bible, my Bible memorization? A few of you. It's a good thing. I encourage you to do it. These guys learned the Torah. The first 5 books of the Bible, they memorize between the ages of 5 and 10. Can you imagine that? Wow, I can't even remember sometimes what I did yesterday or what's in the pantry cupboard. But these guys remember the Torah. Then from the ages of 10 to 14, they go to a place called Bet Medrash, which is where they learn about the traditions and the interpretations and the ways of the tradition and the ways of the rabbi. So they've learned the Torah, they've learned that. And then somewhere in that process, they go through bar mitzvah and they grow to be more like the rabbi that they're doing, and they decide that they are going to want to ask if they can follow a rabbi around. So they start being committed to a rabbi and they start to follow the rabbi. After ages 5 to 10, if you're from a poor family, you might go back to your family and start in the family business. If you're not a great scholar, you might have left by the age of 14, but after 14, you're starting to follow a rabbi. At 18, if you are one of the select few, if you're one of the top end of the Jewish class, you are going to find a rabbi that you are prepared to follow for the next 12 years. And you're not just going to follow him, but you're going to live, eat, breathe everything he's doing. You're learning to follow him spot on. You're learning to follow him in everything. Not just know the Torah, not just know about the traditions, but you are learning to follow the man everywhere. And in that context, at age 30, you can start to have other people walk with you. Jesus, at the age of 30, starts his ministry and he invites people to walk with him. He invites you and me to walk with him, but he doesn't invite us just to walk with him individually. He asks us to walk with him in community, and he takes the disciples and he starts this journey of walking in groups with him. And today he's exactly the same. He doesn't want you just to walk with him alone and just have a moment with him. He wants you to walk with others on the journey of discipleship, in a journey with him. He wants to grow you together. And so we invited into that space. Jesus has collected a group to do the journey with. They're generally ordinary. That's the best bit about the disciples. They're generally ordinary. If you identify as generally ordinary, you are ripe for Jesus. They're not particularly a part of the religious ruling life. They're socio-economic diverse. You've got fishermen there, so some of them will be workers, some of them will be business owners. You've got tax collectors working for the government. These guys are socio-economically diverse. And they're all very imperfect. If you read through the scriptures, they have doubts about their faith. They have doubts about other things. They break out in temper. These aren't perfect people. They're very ordinary people, very different backgrounds, but have had an encounter with Jesus that now links them together. And they're saying, we're going to walk through life together, journeying towards him. That is why life in community is so important. Jesus still working the same way he did then. He says, we're going to journey in life together. If you're into social sciences, they talk about groups in social sciences in different ways. They say there's the one, it's the personal. That's the stuff you do by yourself. There's things that we do by ourselves. In fact, being connected to God, there's personal stuff that you do. We spend time with God personally. Jesus, as we read before, broke away and went up to the mountain by himself. Then there's groups of 2 to 3. It's called private. It's like They're your two, three close pack that you share intimately with. And then there's a group somewhere between between sort of 10 and sort of 50, that's a group. It's a larger group. You're moving with a group of people, but you're also still known by each other. It's really important. The next group on after that is like a congregation. It's corporate worship. It's like we're in today. It's fun. It's good. It's celebrational. It's a party. But you can get lost in a crowd like this. Many of you know, you come to church here today, you'll wave, you'll say hi. It was lovely worship. The preaching didn't go too long. And we had a great morning at church and we left. There's a place for that. But it's not at the expense of the place of actually being known, where someone actually knows about your journey. Someone knows about what's happening in your workplace. Someone knows about your family. Someone's celebrating your wins. Someone's crying over your losses. Who's journeying with you? There's a space for that group. And in this church, we call them connect groups. There's a wider circle that you could be involved in an age ministry group. You might be a part of the men's group, or you might be a part of the She Encounters group. You might be a part of the friends group. And they're good, and they've got their place, but they're a larger group. A connect group is more like 10 to 12 people learning and growing together. You see, growing is not just a cerebral exercise. It's actually a hands-on exercise. Yes, we need cerebral intellect and theology, but until we start to live it out in the context of one another, it doesn't really come to life, and it's not really tested. Nothing's tested until you put it under pressure. It's all good to love your neighbor as yourself until they annoy the living heck out of you. Until they do things that you go, that's not my style. When you start rubbing shoulders with people who aren't your style, don't drink the same coffee as you, speak too much, annoy you, always late to your group, that's when you start to journey in the context of living in life together. So we're going to invite you today to grow in a group. What's going to happen in a group? Well, we're going to provide groups for you, and this is that you can sign up to. Some of you are already in groups, and if you're already in a group, that's fantastic. But they give us a context for living out our faith. The first thing you'll find is care. What's share and care? Share and care is a place that we actually get to share where we are up to in life. Be honest with each other. Not just veneer where we go, oh yeah, everything's great, because that's what we do sometimes in a big group, because we just don't have time to share with everybody. But connect group, you get a chance to do care and share. This is where I'm really up to. Have people understand where you're really up to and then follow you up in that space. 95% of our pastoral care in the church happens through connect groups. And in my group, it happens a lot during the week in a WhatsApp group. Someone puts on there, this is where I'm up to with my job situation. This is where my parents are up to. And I'm now in this middle generation where I'm caring for my parents and I'm also looking after my kids. This is where they're up to. Or this is what exciting happened in my family. And people pile onto that group and do it, and then they bring each other up and they pray for each other and they share for each other. But there's a chance to use the gifts. Remember, we've talked about gifts, the gifts that God has given us. Your prophetic gifts, your words of knowledge gifts, your hospitality gifts. This is where they get expressed one to another through connect group. And it doesn't just happen on the night. It happens through WhatsApp group. It also allows you to share and care for each other when you can't be there. Unfortunately, sometimes we are incapacitated. Discipleship doesn't stop because you're incapacitated physically. You might be in hospital for a long time. That doesn't mean you can't be a part of a group. It means it might not be able to attend the night they meet on, but it doesn't mean that the group's forgotten you and they're not praying for you and they're not walking the journey with you. So it allows that to happen. There's accountability. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, iron sharpens iron. If you've in a group where you go make some outlandish comments about what you might do this year or some outlandish comments about what you're going to do to follow Jesus, what accountability does is it asks you the questions of how are you going with that. When you think that everyone else has forgotten and you don't have to worry about it anymore, someone says, how are you going with that? Or when you are in a place where it's really hard to keep hanging on to Jesus, someone to come alongside you and help sharpen you in that space. Or when you're a little bit off beam, I think we've all been this person, and we thought we had an idea that was from God and we just were chasing it 100, and it was just a little bit off beam. Has anyone been a little bit off beam? A couple of people are admitting to it. That's good. I think we've all been a little off beam sometimes. Passionately off beam. What is iron sharpens iron says, hey, let's get the Bible out. Have you read this scripture? Maybe what you're thinking is not quite the way that God maybe had that intended. Iron sharpens iron. There's accountability. There's teaching that's going to happen where you're going to actually teach one another. You're going to actually get your Bible out and read through it. And you might have even done some research before you got there where you can answer some questions together and dig deeper together. You can use your own Bible skills for that. You can use a Right Now Media for that. One thing that we're excited about this year is we're actually going to provide for you what's being preached on the Sunday. We're starting Galatians in 3 weeks. There will be notes and questions that come out from each Sunday on Galatians so that if your group wants to dig through that way and unpack what was said during the message, you can actually follow in that space. And so we're going to have some teaching and then we're going to do some mission together. That sounds good, doesn't it? Mission. I'm not talking about the mission partners that we'll talk about other times. I'm talking about we're actually going to get hands-on and do things. In Matthew chapter 10, Matthew's just to the left of where we were in Luke and John, if you're new to the Bible. Matthew chapter 10, it says this. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. These are the names of the 12. First, Simon and his brother Andrew. We've been through that. Then these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. At that time, as you go, proclaim the message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely you have been give. So it's evident that Jesus doesn't expect these groups just to be a holy huddle that learns about it. He actually wants to turn those out, that you actually go and do mission one to another. It might be driving out demons. It might be laying on hands and healing, but it also might look like who has a neighbor that needs a hand with their garden this week? Who has someone who we can help out this week? Who has a need inside the group that we can actually do that? It might look a lot more practical than some of the things that we read there. But it might be, hey, we need to clean and pray out some demons and we might need to pray for some healing. It might need to happen. But the point is that their group wasn't just about inward looking, it was turning and looking outwardly looking. So in your group, you've got care, you've got accountability, there's teaching and there's mission. Our groups meet usually fortnightly. Some meet monthly, some meet weekly, but usually fortnightly to grow together. It's the place that we do the context of life together. And then outside of that inward circle of context of life together, that overflows to our context of community outside of our church. How are we intentionally doing community in our workplace, in our sports clubs? And usually the two overlap, or the internal actually feeds into the external. But what are you intentionally being doing to live in community this year? That's one thing we want to ask you as we think about partnership this year, as we partner with one another. What are you intentionally doing to be in community within the body and intentionally to be in community outside of the body? Because that's the conditions for growing more like Jesus. I wish I could just put an iPod on and walk along North Beach and osmosisly grow into be more like Jesus. That would be awesome. Less hassle, great view, wonderful teaching, all of that stuff. But until we put it into the context of community, it's not tested. And Jesus wants us to grow through living life together. So we want to invite you to be intentionally connected to community again, year after year after year. We want it to happen again this year. We want to give you a place to be able to do that because we believe that is how you grow. You know, there's another aspect I want to talk into about community before we finish up this morning, is that community always leaves room for more community. So community is us, hey? Like it's us. And this is human behavior. This is what we do. So we are so worried about finding our place and defining our spot. And so we look for where we can find our place and we can find our spot. And we find it because there's a huddle of people over here and they look a little bit like us and they smell a bit like us. And so we get in there and this is what we do, unfortunately. This is human behavior. This is not judgment or condemnation. I'm just my own human behavior. I get in my group and I think, thank goodness I made it. I found a group of people that I like. I found a group of people that like me. I found a group of people that I connect with. And I've been so worried about this that now I've joined this little group and we're all looking inward at each other and we are not aware of what is happening around us. And therefore, the next person that comes in to join, that there is either no opening in that circle. Have you ever been to a group of a circle where you just trying to get in, but there's no room because everyone's shoulder to shoulder. There's no room to connect into that circle. We can be like that in our communities. We need to have a posture that is one foot here and one foot open so that we can see other people. Because just like you needed to get connected, just like I needed to get connected, other people need to be connected. And the only reason I got connected is because somebody outwardly looked from an internal group and went, there's someone that we could join with. And the reason we do that is because Jesus died on the cross like this. He died for all of us. And so when we think about community, it can't just be about, I've got to find my huddle. It's got to be, I've got to find a place for me to connect, but I've also got to have an arm ready to connect somebody else. You've heard me talk about Lego before. You need to, if your studs all got another block on top of it, you've got no room to connect anyone else. You've got to leave some studs free. Studs are the little bits on the Lego, in case you're thinking, we'll let all the good-looking men, the studs, free to connect. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the Lego. We've got to be free. That's the way the kingdom of God operates. There's room for everyone. There's connection points for everyone. Sometimes it means that we lay down our life for one another, but I've heard that in the Bible. That's how we know what love is, that we might lay down our own preferences. We might lay down our own things so that someone else might benefit. We've got to leave room for other people. We've got to look out for other people, and we've got to be people who connect other people. That doesn't mean that you break away from everyone that you've walked with. Walk with some people for a long time. We're learning some things about connects in that space. We're growing in that space. Now, if you'd like to be a part of a connect group and you're thinking, I'd like to do that, there's a couple of ways you can go about it in the church. One, just go up to another connect group and say, can we join your connect group? Put them on the spot. Two, if you are a connect group, you can invite someone in. Three, you can go over here today, write a bit of the name of the paper. We want to get connected in a connect group. We're going to run some special on-ramping stuff to start new groups. We need more groups. I think we have 10 groups, 12 groups. 10 groups in the adult space. We need more groups. So we're gonna be doing that. There's some on-ramping ways that we're going to do that. If you want to be a part of a group, write your name over here. Lance is our connect group guy. He's going to follow you up. But the reason we do that is to position ourselves to grow in followership of Jesus. Never lose sight of that. It's not about the group. That's about creating an environment to grow more like Jesus. That's the end game. We're here to be a disciple. We're here to grow like him. That's what connect groups do. So be encouraged. Next week, we give people a chance to sign up to partnership to say, yeah, this is how I'm connecting to God. This is how I'm connecting to community. This is how I'm going to connect to serve. And we're going to walk with you on that journey throughout the year. Send some emails, give you some stuff that's going to help in that space. We're excited about that. What I want to show you now, just as a way of finish, is a video about things that we're excited about this year. It's going to be a little weird for you guys because I'm going to speak and then I'm going to step down. We're going to watch a video of me. Don't worry, it's not childhood memories or anything like that. But the reason we've videoed it is we're showing it across both locations today, and we want everyone to hear that at Northreach and here as well. But this year is going to be a great year, 2026. We're excited about it. Why don't we watch the screen, and then we'll finish off with some worship.
Church, we're super excited about this year. I can't believe we're already in February, but that means that it's the start of a new year. And super excited about all the things that are happening and all the things that are going to happen, and about being with a group of people who are passionate about Jesus and chasing after him and living their lives situated, angled towards him, towards Jesus. And that's just what we're going to be doing this year at Encounter across all of our locations, is living our life towards Jesus. And I'm really excited about that. We have some great things coming up over these next 2 weeks. We're going to be talking about partnership. We're going to be talking about being in the triangle and being connected to God, connected to community, and connected to the lifestyle of Jesus, connected to serving. And we really believe that as you are connected in those three places, that you position yourself to grow as a disciple of Jesus. When we commit to those three things, to being committed to God, connected to community, and connected to the lifestyle of serving, you can't help but grow and be more like a disciple of Jesus. And so we're inviting you to partner with one another, to partner with each other, and to partner with Him in growing in Christ. That's what we ask you to do any year at Encounter. We don't ask you to be a part of an institution, part of a club, but hey, we're going to be people who are chasing after Jesus, but living our lives in the real world, and we're excited about that. There's some things that we're super excited about as we look towards this year. You know, some of the mission stuff that we have been connecting with is going to continue and expand. We're really excited about what's happening through our Northreach location as they partner with Altar One. Altar One is a great school, and we've been partnering for the last couple of years with their Connect Ed program. And in this next term, the Artie Bags program, if you haven't come across the Artie Bags program, the Artie Bags program is something started by Roz Taylor, and it involves people from the community dismantling bags and then remaking bags into carry bags, water bags, sunglasses bags. They're then sold, and all the funds go towards helping people caught up in domestic violence. Well, this year we are partnering with Altar One, and not only are we doing the great work with Artie Bags, but also helping some people, Altar One people, through Connect Ed learn how to sew and have a skill for life in sewing. We're just so excited about that, and you might want to get yourself involved in that. We're excited about joining the Pathways program, continuing with Pregnancy Problem House and other mission partners that we have. We're really super excited that. One of the things that we'll be doing this year on March the 29th is we're going to be launching services in Ellenbrook. That's right, we're going to be starting our Ellenbrook location on March the 29th. We're excited for Craig and Mel and the others who are going to be running the services out there. And we look forward to joining with the other churches. Craig has been working with the other churches through the GEO network, the other pastors, helping with the Salvation Army with their Christmas appeal and just getting connected in the community. And the other churches are excited that we get to join them and be a part of that. So we're really excited for that. Before that date on March the 29th, on March the 22nd, we're going to have our all together. That's all our locations together in one location to worship and praise Jesus. We're excited about that, and we invite you to put that in your diary, March the 22nd. You don't want to miss that. You want to be there. About the middle of the year, we hope in our central location to be back in our building. We hope that come the middle of the year that the building is finished, we've moved back in and we're worshiping Jesus again in that Wangara location. And that being just a tool, that's all the building is. It's a tool to help us live out our mission of seeing our community aimed living their life towards Jesus. So we're excited about that. We're going to be having Alpha courses. We want to encourage you to be involved in Soul Care that's coming up. Again, in the middle of the year, we're going to get right back to living our Encounter Life courses, and there's chances to do all types of parenting courses and Valiant Man courses and other courses in that space, so you can be a part of that. A course that was running all year that we're super excited about is Encounter Ministry Training, or EMT. We've got about three people already signed up for that this year. We're going to journey together to go deeper in theology, deeper in ministry, and learn more about the ministry of the church and the skills in that space. So we're excited about that. We look like hiring some more youth staff this year, which we ask you to pray into. That'll be happening. We're excited about that. But I think the most thing that we're most excited about is seeing people come to know Him. There's already five people coming off camp saying they want to get baptized. We'll be seeing more baptisms this year. We'll be seeing more people come to know Jesus as we live out the mission of Jesus in our location. So we're excited about it. Hopefully some of that's exciting you. I want to encourage you that the church is successful, if that's the word you can use, when each one of us is hearing from God and doing what He's called us to do in the places of access where He's put us. The church is not about chasing after one thing, but it's actually about being empowered to live out the life of Christ where He has put us, and to do that in a way that we do it together, supported by each other. So it's great to be the church. It's great to be part of the church in Perth. It's great to be part of the church in the nation. We're excited about a great year ahead. We hope that you're excited about a great year ahead. And we hope that at this next 2 weeks that you sign up, partner with each other in connecting with God, connecting with community, and connecting in the lifestyle of serving. We want to grow to be more like Jesus, and to be a church that's known for our passion of living towards Him. Thanks, church. We look forward to this wonderful year together.